Hey, and welcome to this edition of TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Tommy Patterson. This is the Mobile First World Series. This is episode 4, and joining me today is Matt Hester. We did episode 3 together as well. We're going to dive into some more pieces of mobile device management, but this time we're going to talk about data protection. And that's one of the most exciting pieces to me and during my camps. And I even had a camp in Florida end of last year where I had some people deploying it for their customers before the camp was even over. So, Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and see what we're going to dive into today.
Yeah, my name is Matt Hester. I'm an IT pro evangelist like you. I work with Tommy on this team, and thank you for having us. We're going to talk more today about data protection, and we're going to talk about some technologies like work folders and workplace join. But really it boils down to is, once again, something we've talked about before, Tommy. If we can get the users to come to us and where our data is, that means we can really secure it. The rest is just a matter of how do we let them come to us and how do we secure them once they get to us and how do we enable scenarios? Because quite frankly, what's happened in this mobile world, no Active Directory administrator wants all those mobile devices to be a part of their Active Directory. So how do we get around that in a way? So we allow, once again, that user at the center of our story to take control of what they can or cannot do.
So when you say come to us, you mean as an IT administrator?
Yes.
Right. Not necessarily Microsoft, but as an IT administrator, we want our users to come to us and put their data where we know it's safe.
Yep.
On some type of corporate backed up part of the environment for some of the data, or at least most of the data. So, yep. We're going to talk about work folders. We're going to talk about workplace join and show how some of those pieces and part works. Right.
Yep. We're going to take a look at both of those pieces and parts and how they work, because one is definitely a Windows technology. One is Windows technology and one, but we haven't seen the and one yet. They've announced the and one, but I haven't seen it show up. But we'll talk about that, and that's around work folders. And we've announced it's supposed to work for the iOS systems yet, but there hasn't been anything out there yet. I haven't seen anything in the App Store. So I don't know if it's going to be there yet, or if by the time this people are watching this video, it's like, oh, yeah, man, it just came out like last week. Well, while Tommy and I are recording this, it's not out yet. So we'll definitely talk about those types of things.
Very cool. All right.
So one of the things, Tommy, we just talked about is that really when you look at our infrastructure technology today, mobility is becoming the new normal for everybody. Everybody has multiple devices, and really if you think about it in enterprises today, do enterprise IT folks buy towers anymore? Do they just buy laptops and docking stations and kind of have that mobility? Even though the laptop may never travel, it's becoming the new norm. And there's a lot of studies saying this is just going to get bigger and bigger over the years. That's why devices like the Surface 3 are so important, not only as a kind of a change in how we look at hardware from an infrastructure perspective, but how do we get that same kind of modern applications as well as old school applications, things like office or work style applications, to all work together in a cohesive fashion. So mobility is becoming more and more important of where we put those folks. And really when you think about this from a corporate standpoint, Tommy, I don't know about you, but from an IT management standpoint, I hate mobility. It drives me nuts, right? Because if everything was just towers, right, and we just had everybody plugged into a tower on our land, life was easy, right? We just plug them in. They had to not only get up in the morning, they had to drive to the office, right? They had to get in their car. They had to key in past the security door. They had to sit down, and we know where they were. We knew where that computer was, and we knew how people were using it, right?
Mm, yep.
Well, what happened is that we then had people get more and more PCs. You know, we had the boss have a PC or would have an iPad or something else and say, hey, I want to get connected. And all of a sudden now we had people not coming to the office anymore, not getting in their cars. They were just walking from their bedroom to their home office and hopping on and expecting that same kind of rich experience. And our life got harder. More importantly, when we introduced all kinds of things like smartphone technologies, our life got even more harder. How do I provide that ability for people to check email and do their job on all these different devices? And really, then you add in everything else that's in the world today, from all the different types of applications that give us cloud abilities like storage with OneDrive or SharePoint or Dynamics or our Office and Office 365 products, but also to all the other things that users want. Users want those Angry Birds, that Skype, that Twitter. They want those kind of personal applications, right? They want that ability to work with not only their work stuff, but also their play stuff, all on the same device. And oh, by the way, Mr. Corporate IT Manager, you have to manage all of it. So when we think about what's happening in our world, this is something that shouldn't be new to everybody. And we've been trying to split brain manage this for years on how we try to keep work separate and play separate. But at the end of the day, Tommy, is your laptop that you use for work 100% work? Does it have anything fun on it at all?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I mean, and on part of that note, a lot of people's jobs are now becoming more social because they want to get the word out about a new product, or they want to talk to their customers in a new, you know, innovative way. So what used to be taboo for, you know, a normal application on a laptop at work, maybe not necessarily so anymore. And we need to make sure we can accomplish that, but keep it secure.
Yep.
So that's that angle as well, you know.
Well, and what I tell folks is that if this becomes really a big problem, don't try to prevent the app, just block the port. You know, I imagine World of Warcraft, people blocked those ports at an IT level several times over when it became very popular.
Yeah.
But so at the end, this is where we have our vision at Microsoft. And I think it's actually really a vision where all of us want. We want to be able to look at the person, right? We want to look at an individual person and let them come in as an ID, right? If we can just give them a user ID and password, then it shouldn't matter what device they come in from and how they interact with this. We'll be able to protect. We'll be able to unify. We'll be able to do a lot of work with this. And really, all that single user ID is, and that people-centric mission, is having one ID that works across multiple devices that allow them to access any apps that they have access to, any data they have access to, with a consistent experience aside from screen size, right? You know, it's going to look different on a Surface versus a laptop versus a phone versus an iPad versus any other types of device you come into it. But at the end of the day, it's all through one single verified identity. Now, we're not talking about identity in this episode, but it is something very important to understand that that's kind of the key to this whole story, that single user ID and password and how we set and use things up. And it starts with, how do we protect that data? Well, if we know that user ID and password's coming in, what can we do? We can set access control lists based on that user ID and password. We can set policies based on that user ID and password. Now, granted, you're going to do these things at the organizational unit levels and the group levels and those types of things. But the point is, if I know who that person is, then I can set my internal security to work in the way that makes it happen. More importantly, I can actually enforce that user to come and work with me and actually come into that data, as I talked about at the beginning of the show, and know who they are. They're going to have to come to me at some time. Now I can really enforce those policies. Because once the data gets in the wild, it's very, very hard to keep that data secure. Now, we can lock it down on the devices. We can encrypt the file. But as I tell people, nobody has figured out the group policy yet to prevent the pen and paper. Or the photocopier, or nowadays in the modern world, people get something that says don't share, and they take out their cell phone and they take a picture with the cell phone. So folks, once it gets outside your corporate walls or even onto those laptops or tablets, you got to think about it in ways, if people really want to see this data, they're going to figure out ways to get around it. Have you seen the same kind of things as well, Tommy?
Yeah, there's always been something about, what about screen capture and, you know, what about somebody looking over your shoulder when you're sitting at Starbucks? And I think the world's getting a little more mature about that, but there's still a lot of room to grow there. I think it comes down to, are we doing the best we can on the IT management side to make sure that they're protected from every way possible other than that screenshotting of data or somebody looking over the shoulder? And then it's more of an education, right, on how to make sure they know that, hey, you're looking at data that's really critical to business, but you're in an area where you may not can trust everybody around you. So it's definitely tough. And some of these new phones have, you know, automatic upload to the cloud with the pictures you take. Well, you could delete the picture after you've taken it, but it could still be in your cloud storage. And is your cloud storage secure? So lots to think about there.
Yep, and that's where it gets really important. Once again, if we can get them come to our data centers and we can come into where our file folders are, our life becomes a little bit easier. There was an interesting study, and I'll kind of butcher the numbers, but I want to give you the gist of the study I read a little bit ago, was that it was like 40% of knowledge workers were storing their data outside of company walls in non-sanctioned non-sanctioned data storage, just like you mentioned, right? Maybe it synced up automatically to their cloud storage, or just something they wanted to share with a colleague or a trusted partner or a trusted business resource, and they took it out and put it up on their, you know, OneDrive and not OneDrive for Business or a Dropbox or somewhere, and they put that data, it was there. I think that doesn't surprise me, right? 40% seems about what people are going to do. The part that got me was that in the survey, and it was like, it was some number right around either 81% or 87%. 80 some odd percent of those folks actually knew it was against company policy. In other words, somebody from IT said, don't do that. And they said, yeah, I won't do that. And they did it anyways. So this is where we have, this is the world that we live in, because people want, they're in that now generation, right? They really want to have that data, but we have to try to educate them the importance of that information and how do we secure it and make sure it's working. So really it's about how do we protect it? How do we enforce that? How do we protect our data when we can get them to come to us and work with our data inside of our environments?
Right.
And really, it starts with a couple things. And one, I'm going to kind of delve into what is device identity. Now, think about devices in Active Directory for a second. If they're fully domain joined, we have full control. We're going to give them access into those devices. But that's the easy one, right? Tommy, if we can get them to join our domain, life is good, because then we can fully manage those devices. Even if they're not Windows devices, there's a lot of third-party company out there that would give group policy management-like stories to non-Microsoft devices, and even some of our own stuff, System Center and Intune, can do some management to that. But group policy and that kind of stuff, in the domain, life's great, right? If I'm an IT admin, I can get them in the domain, it's there, but I don't want all those mobile devices that are there. So how do I do some device associations? Well, that's where Workplace Join comes in. We actually have the ability to do a device registration, and it's all based off that user ID and password, but it's our way of saying, oh, your user ID, that's coming from that Surface 3, or that user ID is coming from the iPad, and we can control what types of devices can or cannot come from our environment. But we also have the ability, once they come into it, we get that partial management story that we'll talk briefly about, because this is really about data access and that. And then the unknown devices, right? We don't want those unknown devices, because we don't know who they are. We don't know who's coming in on them. We want to have that kind of marriage where we don't want them in the domain, but we got to know who you are and what you're coming in on inside the environment, and give them that kind of partial single sign-on or same sign-on access. And it really starts with one of the new technologies we put in place with our Windows technologies. Now, this is solely just a Windows technology, but it's Workplace Join. And it allows us to basically have a lightweight registration for devices. We don't want to be a fully member of the domain, but we want to be able to do some management capabilities. We want to be able to let them come in and do some work in our environment. It's our way of saying, oh, you want to come play with the SharePoint server, but to do that, you got to be a part of our domain environment before you can actually get in and leveraging it. It's also used with dynamic access control on Windows Server, which we'll talk a bit about, because it's one of the exciting ways we can secure data now inside of it. But Workplace Join and device registration, really, if I have a user, let's say like my slide has Irwin's on an unauthenticated device, it's an unknown device, they authenticate, right? Well, they're going to try to come in and they're going to get an error or an access denied message that's here. But if I can say, now I'm a Workplace Join device and that device is authenticated, basically I'm just registering the device. It's like I'm giving it a temporary parking tag to come in, or a guest parking pass to park into my parking lot. Now I'll let them in, because now I can verify that device, and I can control from an IT management standpoint those types of devices that I want to be able to allow in and allow into my apps and work with them. The great thing about this is that now I know who they are. I know who they're coming from, and I'll see that show up in my logs and my collections and what's going on, and I can actually then work with it. It really establishes that identity based on that user. And at the end of the day, what's nice about this is that still starts with that user ID and password. Now we're going to let that device come in, and now I know what that device is. More importantly, when the time comes, if that person leaves the company or something happens, I can come in and reset the device. Maybe the device got lost. I, as an IT manager, or even if we've enabled it from a self-service standpoint, the user can come in and actually do a reset on the device and basically take that data out. And we've made some exciting announcements recently with Windows Intune, where now I can actually put that data in a sandbox. So now that if device is lost, I can just get rid of that sandbox off of that device while leaving everything else intact. All right.
It's a lot to think about.
It is.
It used to be, do we give them VPN access or not? And is there, you know, their particular device or OS handle our particular type of VPN, and then you have to worry about, well, what if we put it on that device and somebody else gets a hold of it, right?
Yeah.
So now we're talking about at least a mechanism that would say, hey, we recognize that particular mobile device that you have, even though it's not on the corporate domain, per se, but at least we recognize the device. We know we've allowed access.
Yep.
Yep.
And it also, to correct myself, I think I misspoke earlier. Workplace Join is not a Windows-only thing. It actually is something we can do on our iPads, we can do on our Android, but it allows me to authenticate. And I believe we took a look briefly at this in the last one where we talked about moving and showing. Actually, I was showing IE, but I could actually do domain browsing, SharePoint browsing. I could do all that stuff on those different platforms. Now, another exciting thing, Tommy, because when you get into that realm of are we secure or not and what device we're coming in from, mm-hmm. one really common technique that customers are looking at putting in place is multi-factor authentication for the identity. Now, not we're going to talk about it today, but now it takes that trusted device level to another notch. Not only do I have to know the device that user is currently logging in from, that user then has another trusted device, probably their cell phone, that has their data. So it's basically now I have two trusted devices to verify that user is who they say they are, even though they're coming from a new device out there in the world. Once again, it starts with that ability to do this. And the fact that we can do this across multiple devices or across different platforms really speaks to some of the power that we have to support that mobile world and mobile first world that we're living in inside of here. And it's all about device registration. There's some really good articles we'll point you to on taking you a deeper dive into this slide, but really user gets in, they find that device registration service, which can be an internal server in your data center, or we actually just recently launched, I believe it's still in preview, I don't know if it's come out of preview yet, the ability to set this up in Azure Active Directory, where you can actually do device registration via Azure AD, which offers the same kind of look and feel to let people into those objects that are there. And then if you're doing directory synchronization with on-prem AD, once again, it opens them up. But what did I talk about? We're making the users come to us. We're making them become part of our domain. We're learning more about them so that we can not only protect them, we can protect our data as well. And when you look at data, the industry way that we always look at data to protect it is in three areas. Data is either in rest, in use, or in motion. Is it sitting still? Is somebody writing on it, or is it being transported from one location? And how do we protect that data? How do we actually govern that? And there's all kinds of mechanisms. And really, from a Microsoft perspective, everybody used to give me crud about, and I don't know about you, Tommy, about the old NT4.0 days, everyone full control, right? Those days are gone, folks. We are very serious about how we secure data. And Microsoft's put in so many technologies that have been around, and some of them are fairly mature, like BitLocker and AppLocker are fairly mature technologies. SSL, obviously, BitLocker to go are all the great things that we have out there. But we also have things like dynamic access control, which allows us to set policies on a folder on a server that based on the data that's there, policy will change. Based on what's in the data, what's the contents of that folder, policies will change dynamically on the fly for you. So you don't no longer have to necessarily worry about setting ACLs or resetting ACLs every time you come into it. The point is, we have a lot of mature technologies to work through this different kind of data. And we've been doing this for quite some time. Once again, long gone are the days of everyone full control. Although I will admit, though, it was kind of nice when everyone had full control. You never worried about access denied messages, right, Tommy?
No, you never did. You only worried about what all they just unleashed in your network for, better or worse, right?
Yep. And this statement is simply this. Everybody in your company, everybody listen to this, Tommy, me, Chris, everybody knows this statement. I know what data is important. I know what is not. I know how to protect the data. I want to be able to protect it anywhere I can control its flow, monitors use. Access to the data is controlled by me. Once again, if I can make people come to us, if I can make them come to where my data is, now I can empower to act responsibility and work with that data. And yet still, people might pull out the cell phones and pull out the pen and paper, but we can take away what I would call a lot of the easy problems, right? Most users are pretty good, right? They're not going to try to steal your data, but somebody looking over the shoulder or, you're on an airplane, you're looking at data and somebody's sitting a row behind you, we can prevent some of that stuff, but some of it we can really protect how that data works. And really it's about making that information available. Users can access corporate resources, so we can do things like workplace join and get that single sign-on experience regardless of the device. And once again, make them come into our environment. We can do Intune to enroll those devices, once again, register or enroll those devices to let them into a company portal or a company portal app. We then can use remote access to let them in across the world. We can also use web server proxy to let them into different applications that might be behind that area. But once again, it all starts with that identity. It all starts with that registration process. Always starts in the beginning. So that first part of the story we've talked about with Workplace Join and the device registration services to let them in, where they get access denied until they register that device. In other words, our way of saying, hey, look, we trust your ID and password, but that device we don't know anything about. You have to enroll that device before they come into the environment. And then they can do things like VDI, which we talked about in the last session. And really, when you look at that mobile content management, BitLocker is one of the key areas that we have. Full encryption is actually going really mainstream, be able to encrypt the full device itself. Even BitLocker being able to support on our servers to protect our backend infrastructure in case those devices are physically lost or stolen. And if people can't log into it, well, I'll pull out my screwdriver and I'll take out the hard drive on those devices. Especially with the modern tablets and the modern form factors, good luck finding the hard drive and getting to it easily. Two, if it's BitLocker to go, they could plug it into whatever, and most likely they're going to get a drive that's ready to be formatted and not the actual data, unless they're a gifted, highly technical mathematician, decryptor type person. That's the official technical term, Tommy. What do you think of that?
Very nice. Very nice.
So work folders are one way we can do this. Now, this is only currently a Windows technology, and it allows us to enable offline file access to folders stored on a Windows Server 2012 R2 file server. So a couple things about this. One, currently there's only a Windows 8 client for this. There's only a Windows 8 work folders. When we announced the feature, I haven't heard anything that says otherwise as of yet, that we announced an iOS work folder, but it doesn't exist. Once again, I don't know if it's something they're still working on or what's happening, but right now this is only available on the Windows environment. Specifically, what I'll be showing you today is Windows 8, although there is a Windows 7 client as well for work folders. Work folders are configured with group policy, and they leverage different things, and you can actually complement everything. Well, does this replace OneDrive and OneDrive Pro? Well, not really, because those mechanisms, depending on the data, really aren't going to secure it. This data is actually, you're just going to get a local copy of data that's stored on my server, and that data is going to be secured to your ID and your identification. The nice thing about this is that if you take off the work folders, it gets removed from your local store, but it still remains healthy on the actual server itself. So we have the ability to really control that data, because once again, where are they coming? They're coming to me and my data center for the actual access to the data. And if the fact that it's on a Windows Server 2012 file server, which means I can do all the NTFS, I can do the EFS for encryption, I can do dynamic access control, I can do all those different types of security mechanisms to actually protect my data on top of the environment. So let's actually take a look at this inside of here. So here I want to show work folders, but before I get to that, I just want to show workplace join real quick and what that looks like. So if you go into, and this is a Windows 8 system, if I go into the PC settings and I choose network, and I choose workplace, I have the ability to actually click on join. Now right now I can't, and that's the reason, because I'm a domain join system. But join will come up and just simply ask me for an email address, which is my user ID and password, and allow me to join and register that device with my current environments. So we have that ability to do that all built in here. The other one I want to show you is work folders. So I'm just going to do a quick search on work folders. And I'm going to go ahead and click on manage work folders. Now, I currently haven't set this up, but work folders allows me to control my data. And once again, I'm essentially syncing to a directory that's on a server somewhere, and I'm working with it. So I'm going to go ahead and say set up work folders. And what this is going to do is allow me to, once again, just enter my address. So I'm going to use my demo address and click on next. And it's going to ask me for a username and password. So I'm going to put in the same thing.
And these are your domain credentials, correct? Yep. Since you work at this Contoso demo organization.
Yep.
Yep.
And now it's going to come up, and it's going to ask me, where do I want to store my work folders? Now, I'm going to do kind of a little bit before I set this up, because the folder isn't there yet. Notice I don't have work folders there yet. Nothing up my sleeve, but it's going to show up here in a second. So I'm just going to kind of drag this. And sometimes I can catch it. Sometimes I have to refresh that screen. Let's see what happens today. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Next. Now, here is the rub, right? This is the most important screen to this. And this is going to protect whoever sets this up. You're basically telling the user, hey, I'm going to put stuff in this folder. I'm going to encrypt it. I'm going to require some things. And if you lose this PC, I'm going to erase anything on here. It's your way of telling the user, the folder that I'm putting on your laptop is my folder. In other words, it's my way to protect it, and I have to accept it. If I don't accept it, I don't get in. So it allows me to once again give that kind of legalese protection to that user saying, hey, this is going to be my environment. So I'm going to go ahead and accept those and go ahead and click on Setup Work Folders.
Another point there that I think is big is it requires you to use a password to sign in. So you can't use some of the other mechanisms to get signed into your PC, less secure mechanisms per se. So having that password enabled is there for a reason.
Yep, and then you'll notice here it showed up automatically for me. And if I click back on work folders, you can tell me it just synced based on that. And if I look at that data, I have that data that's here. So now I'm going to hopefully create a little bit of magic if everything's working. Now what you don't see is off to my left here, I have my Surface, and you guys can't see me typing on my Surface, which isn't very funny, or wouldn't be very fun, I should say. So I'm going to go ahead and just create another document on another system that is work folder joined. Now the great thing about this, Tommy, is I used the same ID. I didn't set up anything different, same user ID and same password, made it very easy. And the system I'm doing this now from is not a domain joined box. It just happens to be one of the tablets I have in my office. So I'm going to go ahead and make a new document here on my folder.
While you do that, the big piece to take away here, folks, is that particular work folders folder that you see with data inside it sits on a Server 2012 box somewhere in the corporate network, and the permissions and the shareability of that folder are up to the IT administrator, right? So even though those folders and files are yours, it's up to the IT administrator as to who else might have access to those folders or getting rid of the data inside.
And the nice thing about this is that even though those files and folders, as Tommy mentioned, are located on the server, when I first get them, they now are on my local box. So when I'm working with them, I'm not going over a network connection. They're just there for me to actually work with on a local copy. They're in that local storage, so things are going to be nice and easy. So what I'm going to do here, I've already created the folder. I made sure it looks like it's synced. So if everything's working and I did my prayer right for the cloud transfer units, when I click on sync now, we should have a new file come in to my folder over here, hopefully. And there's my new file, go Buckeyes. See how that came across like magic, just shows up. But that's work folders. That's the ability to sync that data across from it. Now, I get asked a question all the time, Matt, what if you have two laptops with the same time using the same document and who modifies who wins first? Well, first off, let's talk about the scenario. Remember, work folders is based on the premise of a single user ID and password. So what is the chance that the user is going to be logged on to two boxes simultaneously working on exactly the same document in two different locations on two different devices? I would say slim to none and slim left town. In other words, this is not multiple people working on this directory like a typical file share scenario. This is a single user ID that is tied to that work folder. Now, let's just say by chance, the user was at home, they modified a document, they hadn't synced it yet, they hopped on a plane and they opened up their tablet, they started working on the document. What generally will happen? Well, you actually see the answer right now on my screen. If you'll notice on my screen, I actually have two files, one MH Surface and one MH Twist. What will happen on the back end, work folders will look at those documents and say, wait a second, I have a conflict, and it'll save both. And generally, the name will be the name of the computer that is associated with the device it came from. So I, as a user, can tell that, oh, that one document that came from MH Surface came from my Surface, and the other one, MH Twist, came from my Twist laptop, my Lenovo Twist machine that I have. So I have the ability as a user to protect my information. But once again, I don't think the scenario is likely, but it is something that the work folder is designed to help protect it. Now, if you sync them right at about the same time, if you're playing a game where I've done, you know, Tommy and I do live camps, generally the rule is if you sync at exactly the same time, the last one to sync wins. It won't create the separate documents, but the last person to actually get the sync in will generally win that conversation. But that's work folders in a nutshell. Fairly easy to set up from a server side, but also from a client perspective, makes that experience, regardless of what screen come in, to leverage that. And then hopefully soon we'll have something that'll work with an Apple or an iOS device, and now that'll get even expanded the type of devices we can support with this technology.
Very cool. For folks, if you're trying to find the step-by-step or you want to do a lab setup of this, the TechNet Virtual Labs and Microsoft Virtual Academy have a complete walkthrough on all of the different technologies we talked about today. So give those a shot. They're both free sources of education online for anyone to do. So take a look at those. So that was great, Matt. I think a good overview of what it looks like, how it works. And like I said, it's one of the fastest growing technologies that I'm seeing actually consumed in the field by the IT pros that we talk with at our camps. So good stuff. Any closing thoughts on this technology or the series in general?
No, really, I think the series in general, hopefully we talk about mobile first world, and that's kind of our series, but it really starts with that user ID and password and be able to protect it and do things like multi-factor authentication to verify that identity. So much is tied to that user ID and password. It's important to keep them protected, important to keep them locked down. And once we know that's valid, then the rest is fairly straightforward. The technologies are finally catching up with the devices. And I think that's what happened. We had all these mobile technologies out there and nobody knew how to manage them. Well, now all these different software from Intune to Mobile Iron to all the AirWatch and all those other ones are out there to allow us to come in and manage those devices. The rest is just a matter of what data we want to give them access to. And we're back into that same game that everybody, even though they're not in our LAN, they don't have to get up every morning. They don't have to, you know, they can walk to their home office. Now they can just come in and we can keep them secure and help keep our information protected.
Very cool. I think the next big step is going to be the multi-factor authentication piece for most corporations, if they haven't already started down that path.
Yep.
Azure Active Directory and what we're doing there, very exciting stuff. So hope to see you come back, watch another TechNet Radio soon. Matt, it's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Have a great day, everybody.